Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live on Sports Radio 92 on the Game, Sunday afternoon. John Fricke with you from the Northern Kia Studios. You know the number as always, 404-726-0929. Feel sorry for the fans who, Braves fans, not you Dodgers fans, never feel sorry for Dodgers fans. All right, I'll just leave it at that. From my time in Los Angeles, I'll just leave it at that. Sorry you had to wait through 3 hours of a rain delay. That had to suck, only to sit through 3 hours of even more suckage, because that really did suck. Maybe tonight, because it's a late night Sunday night game, because of national TV and all, they can get one of them. Atlanta United down the road at Mercedes-Benz had a lead and couldn't hold on to it and ended up having to settle for a tie. And both teams, Atlanta United and the Atlanta Braves, have disappointing nights on Saturday. Part of disappointing seasons so far for both clubs. Two teams that are on paper full of talent and two teams that are grossly underperforming. And as a result, we've been discussing this morning, you know, how do you change that? How do you get these teams to perform? And in my opinion, the only way is to remove both the managers. I think that both need to be removed. And done respectfully, because I'm not trying to fire them. I don't think that they've earned that. But I think both need to be removed, and we need to have Rob Valentino promoted again to run United for the remainder of the year and see if he can't be the full-time manager, because they respond to him. And I think that Matu Yasosopo or Eddie Perez, those would be my first two choices, need to be promoted to interim manager of the Braves and see if they can earn the job. Both Valentino and Tu Yasosopo, or Valentino and Perez, see if they can earn the job for the remainder of the year. I don't see any reason not to. But that's just kind of my take right now. And, of course, you know, who knows? Both of them could turn around and, you know, Atlanta United gets hot under Dyla and wins a cup and, you know, the Braves get hot and healthy under Brian Snicker and win the World Series. And you're going to sit there and say, John, in May, you said. And yeah, you're right. And I was wrong. And I will gleefully come on the radio and laugh heartily at myself. Man, was I wrong. Wow. And I'll be happy I was wrong. Unfortunately, at the moment, I don't think I am. 404-726-0929. But I could be. You never know. I've been wrong before. I'm on my second marriage. I'm just telling you that. All right? I'm not perfect. That's the way humans are. Garrett Chapman is running the board today, technical director, and all that kind of stuff. Garrett, how long have you and I done the college football show together? 3 years?
I think that's right. I think it's the last. This will be our third year, I guess.
This will be our third or fourth?
I think that's right. I think this is our third year.
Coming up?
I think so.
Okay.
I lose track.
Yeah, I do. You.
I lose track.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, along with Abe Gordon and Chris Goforth, and it's had various kind of different team things and how we've done. I actually think it's our fourth. I think the three of us did it, and then we split into teams last year.
You may be right.
So I think that's our fourth coming up. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Since the boys of summer down with United and the Braves, and we'll talk about those with you at 404-726-0999 or whatever you want to talk about. Again, I don't mind if you disagree. Just don't be disagreeable. And there's actually some college football news out there that kind of drew my attention that I want to bring up. I know that we're 111 days away because Atlanta's going to have three, by the way, Garrett, three kickoff games. You have that cricket kickoff game at Center Park, which is, oh, I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's North Carolina Central and Southern this year. All right, if I'm wrong. By the way, if I'm wrong on that, I apologize to everybody out there for the kickoff cricket game at Center Park. I think it's North Carolina Central and Southern. Then you have the two. Interesting this year, you know, this. I think, is this the first time we haven't had a local team involved in the two kickoff games at Mercedes-Benz?
No, it's not the first time we haven't had local teams. I think we've had situations like this in the past.
With two games and four teams and none of them are local?
Yeah, yeah. It's happened before. I mean, it's generally, I think Georgia Tech did it a couple of years ago when they played Tennessee. And then Georgia's in it quite frequently.
But those are locals.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying I think that we had like a North Carolina versus like a let me check on this. Let me verify.
No, it's okay. You don't have to. It doesn't matter. I don't waste your time. The two teams, because it's not relevant to anybody who's listening. The two games that we do have this year are Tennessee and Syracuse. Going to be a lot of orange, and South Carolina and Virginia Tech. Those are the two kickoff games at Mercedes-Benz. Anyway, that's coming up pretty quick, 111 days away from the start of college football. I think there could be three kickoff games in town, the one at Center Park Stadium, which I think is North Carolina Central and Southern. I don't have it in front of me. And Tennessee, Syracuse, and South Carolina, Virginia Tech. And then, of course, we'll get into the regular season and all that kind of good stuff here with college football. And so let's get back to this. Garrett, I don't know if you saw, did you see CBS's way too early 2026 draft?
I've seen a few of them. I know there's a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah, a lot of quarterbacks. Because as shaky as this quarterback class is, and we don't have to get into it, I do think it's shaky, is as good as potentially last year's quarterback class was, is potentially as good as next year's quarterback class is. And in CBS's way too early thing, a couple of things that jumped out at me, all right? One is that they had the Swampers take an arch, you know, that the Swampers are going to tank. That's why they took Tyler Shough and wasted a draft pick. And that they're going to end up like 3-14, which is what they are. By the way, I would never tell them to do the positive thing down there because I hate them so much. But if they were smart, they would tank. That's what they would do. That's what I would do. If not that I would ever own that team, but that's what I would do. I would tank for Arch Manning. Then they had the Browns picking another quarterback. Oh, my God. Drew Aller. I'm like, how many bloody everybody wants to complain. Just over here in the NFL with me for a minute, Garrett. Everybody wants to complain, and rightfully so, about our Falcons. How would you like to be a Browns fan? I mean,
I don't think there's any worse franchise in the NFL historically. I mean, you could say the Lions, I guess. But the man, what a tough existence.
Well, there's only four that have never been to a Super Bowl, correct? And two of those are like the Jaguars and Texans.
Yeah, two teams who haven't been around for more than 30 years.
Right. But the other two, the Browns and the Lions, who were great powerhouse franchises during the pre-Super Bowl era of the NFL, neither have been into a Super Bowl, though the Lions are their own worst enemy. They should have been in one, obviously. But, you know, and the Browns, for that matter. I mean, the drive happened. If you don't know what the drive is, go look at the drive. But with all those quarterbacks, they have five quarterbacks in their roster. And then they're facing the other thing with the Browns is not only do they have five quarterbacks on their roster, but they went through this incredible controversy with obviously the $230 million man. But now they're going to go through more scrutiny than any other. There's going to be ask yourself a question. What training camp are the most cameras going to be at? Garrett, of all the teams in the NFL, what training camp are the most cameras going to be at?
Cleveland.
Oh, of course.
How many of those are just going to be brought by the Sanders family, though? That's the question.
They're going to be a lot. And then CBS's way too early draft had the you know, the Falcons traded the number one pick, obviously, next year. And so they have the Rams taking Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback out of LSU, to replace, this is, again, a diss, to replace, not to the Rams, to replace Matt Stafford. But they had the Rams picking 12th. Oh, come on, stop it. Really? If the Rams are picking 12th, the Falcons just went 7-10 again. Stop it.
I don't understand a lot of that. And this was like the crux of my show yesterday, John. I don't understand why the national media is undervaluing the Atlanta Falcons right now. I get the fact that you've had seven straight losing seasons, and that's not lost on me, okay? But the fact that this team is somehow going to go backwards next year doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I get you have a rookie quarterback, effectively a rookie quarterback, but he's shown flashes of being a guy who can absolutely take you up over the top, and the defense is unquestionably better than what it was last year. So I do not understand a lot of the national discourse or lack thereof on the Atlanta Falcons and their success next year. I don't understand it.
Well, I do. The national media hates Atlanta. How do I know the national media, sports media hates Atlanta? The national sports media based in New York and Los Angeles, how do I know they hate Atlanta? I worked there. I worked in the national media in New York. I worked in the national media in Los Angeles. I worked there. I hung around those people. They hate Atlanta, okay? They hate you, all right? New York and L.A. hates us. You have to trust me from somebody who worked in the media there and talked to all those. Yeah, thank you for editing that out. Anyway, I think, grossly undervaluing the Falcons too. But again, another, like the Hawks thing, you know, just diss us. But it's up to us really to go out and just prove them wrong. And until we do, you know what? I'm not gonna overly analyze this. I think I laugh at it. But then right, you know, hey, listen, if you don't actually get it done, all right. So let's go back to college football. So there's a big story this week about the Texas Longhorns, okay, and about Arch Manning, and about how much Texas's payroll is, and it dovetails into another story about how some schools are going to the government to ask them to curb the NIL. The last thing in the world, this is why Super Conference has to happen. In my opinion, the last thing in the bloody world we need is the U.S. government getting involved in college athletics to this degree in the NIL. That just would, oh. Because right now the NIL is governed by 50 different state, you know, laws. The NIL rules in different states are different for different, every state's got a different NIL rule. And so they're saying, we want a standardized NIL rule, which will, you know, keep us from having to spend so much money. Because Texas, what was it, $40 million? Is that right, Garrett?
Estimated between $30 and $40 million, upwards of $40, though.
Well, but I don't blame Texas at all, by the way. It's fine.
Well, $20 million just won a national championship.
Well, Ohio State just spent $40 million last year, right? And won a title. Okay, that's what it cost. That's what it costs to win a title right now in college athletics, $40 million. All right, so Texas is willing to spend it. This is what, and then you have Nick Holier than thou Saban, who, by the way, is the greatest coach. I'll agree with you. If you're an Alabama fan, I didn't think anybody could ever pass Bear. He's certainly the greatest coach in Alabama history, which is wild. But also maybe arguably the greatest coach in college football history, who does himself no favors by continuing this nonstop assault, in my opinion, on the NIL, when it's like, dude, shut the hell up. You made how much? And you want to get into the pockets of young adults? Stay out of their pockets, Nick. Shut up. Okay? So we'll see that. But that's not the real story of Texas, is it, Garrett? Because you have a piece of audio that these fans have to hear, correct?
Yeah. No, it's something that is a little delusional. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, wait till you hear this. And I say, wait till you hear this. Wait till I hear it, because I only know what it's about, but I have not heard it yet. So I'm going to hear it for the first time, just like you, right after this break on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Everybody has a team. John Fricke live from the Northern Kia Studios on a Sunday afternoon, 404-726-0929. Everybody has a team they hate, right? Everybody's got a rival, team you can't stand, your rival. For some reason, you don't like them, right? Everybody got that team. We all do. Garrett, what is, my professional team that you know the professional team I don't like, I think, right?
Come on.
Okay. You have a college.
I could work with you for about 15 minutes and figure that out.
you have a college team that you can't stand.
Florida.
Okay, you don't like. Okay, I get it. Yeah, makes
very
sense.
Fast
to me.
Answer there.
You know, hey, no, there's no wrong answer here. You know, there are people that hate my team.
Hey,
people that hate your team.
Both of my teams live in swamps, though. It's the swampers and the swampers.
Well, both of my teams are black. Both of my teams are black and gold.
I guess that's fair.
Okay. Because if there's one team I can't stand in college sports, my team I hate, Colorado Golden Buffaloes.
Well,
and Golden Buffaloes is their real name. What?
I mean, they're kind of irrelevant most of the time. I mean, granted, with Deion Sanders, they're a fun team to watch, I guess, or at least to talk about it to some degree. But before that, what's there to hate?
Yeah, I mean, they had some good seasons. Obviously, they split a national title once back in the day with Georgia Tech.
It's gearing on 40 years.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, 35 years ago. But the Colorado Golden Buffaloes, I can't stand them. I mean, their fans hate my fans. We hate them. It's a mutual hate society. Wish we were still in the same league. We're not. Hopefully we will be again when Super Conference comes around. I'd like to play them every year. We did play them last year in Lincoln and beat the hell out of them, which was fun for me. So the highlight of the year for the Huskers was to beat the hell out of Shedeur Sanders. Having said that, when Nebraska and Colorado were in the Big 8, and then they became the Big 12 by inviting four schools from Texas to join their league, and the creation of the Big 8 went to the Big 12, we did not know in Nebraska at the time, and Nebraska fans did not know, that they were inviting the devil into their living room. Because Texas is the devil. Okay? And the SEC, I'm not sure they understood that when they were inviting Texas into their league, that they were inviting the devil into their living room. Now, Texas A&M fans hate Texas. That's their arch rival. I get it. Oklahoma fans hate Texas. That's their arch rival. I get it. It's not my team's arch rival, so I don't hate Texas in that way. But I view Texas as the most arrogant athletic department in the country. Because they are. Now, there's a piece of audio that may prove that, I understand. Again, I haven't heard this. That may just go to bolster that. Now, walk me through this, Garrett. What's this audio?
So this isn't Texas. This is just SEC network hosts. Basically just discussing, Chris Doering and Peter Burns, discussing that the Longhorns are the class of the SEC. There, just take a listen to this.
It's not necessarily a demise. It's just I don't know how you can continue to build upon that. And then the question kind of stems where, all right, if Georgia's a team that has struggled, is it Texas that's now the superpower of the SEC going back-to-back in their college football playoff runs? Now, in fact, that they're looking at spending $35 to $40 million on this roster, if you're going to look at the numbers, the SEC does not run through Georgia right now. The SEC powerhouse are the Texas Longhorns.
Play the first, like, 6 or 7 seconds of that again.
It's not necessarily a demise. It's just I don't know how you can
listen for the word struggle
to build upon that. And then the question kind of stems where, all right, if Georgia's a team that has struggled.
Struggled? What are you talking? Okay, I'm not a Georgia fan. I'm a Nebraska fan. Nebraska struggled. Garrett, did Georgia win the SEC last year?
Last I checked, they did.
Were they the number two seed in the playoff?
Last I checked, they were.
Is that struggling by your definition?
Well, struggling, I mean, going 2-0 against the team that they're highlighting is not exactly my definition of struggle.
They beat Texas twice, correct?
Yes, they dismantled them twice. They did it the first time they dismantled them after throwing three interceptions.
By the way, that was Doering, wasn't it, talking?
Yeah, I think that was Peter Burns, actually.
That was Peter Burns? Okay, I don't know, one of the two. Doesn't matter. Either of them are idiots for saying this.
But they did it the second time.
They're not idiots in and of themselves. I don't want that getting back to them. The Peter Burns and Chris Doering are idiots. That was an idiotic statement. I mean, it's just a bald-faced not truth, okay? But understand what you're dealing with Texas, because I want to tell you the devil you've let into your room, SEC. When the Big 8 invited Texas, the Big 8 was a very successful small conference. Multiple national championships. Kansas would win basketball titles. Oklahoma won a basketball title. Nebraska and Oklahoma, Colorado, I mean, powerhouse, you know, football programs. They did really well. How many national titles did Nebraska and Oklahoma win? Every year, Nebraska and Oklahoma played Thanksgiving Day after Thanksgiving on Friday, and it was for the national championship. There was a joke, another Barry Switzer reference of the day. A reporter says to him before the Nebraska-Oklahoma game when they were 1-2, as they usually were, you know, hey, Indiana-Purdue play for the old Oaken Bucket, and, you know, Cal and Stanford play for the Victory Bell or whatever the hell, you know, the axe between Wisconsin and Minnesota. What do Nebraska and Oklahoma play for? And Switzer went the national title. And so it was a very successful, you know, the Big 8, very successful. And they decided to expand for television reasons and money and invite these four teams from Texas to join their league. That's not what happened. Texas went, we're not joining your league. We're taking your league and taking it over. We're going to move the conference offices from Kansas City to Dallas. You're now part of us. We own you. And Nebraska went, I don't know about that. And then Texas came back and said, hey, listen, we're going to form something called the Longhorn Television Network. And we're going to go into business with ESPN. Oh, all of us are going to get money. Why are we calling it Longhorn? Oh, no. None of you are getting money, just us. We're not sharing the revenue with you guys. We're keeping it all to ourselves. And Nebraska went, wait, that's not the way this works. Texas said, yeah, it is. We're doing our own network. We're just going to keep all the money to ourselves. Oh, excuse me. Did you cut that? Please tell me you dumped that. That's the first time. That's the first time I think I've cursed on air in 30 years.
Hey, man, college football gets you fired up. You also technically didn't say it all the way. You didn't say it all the way.
I got close. Oh, wow. So, anyway, the point was, why did Nebraska go to the Big Ten? Because Texas took everything. They took the league office. They took the television deal. They took everything, and they said, it's ours. And then they cheated in a title game with Colt McCoy, but that's a different story. So, but Texas, so you're inviting the devil into your house, SEC. Understand what Austin is. They view the world as Texas and everybody else. They will take what's theirs without regard to you. Just understand that. I just when they came in, I went, okay, this ain't, you think it's Texas A&M. Oh, no. No, 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 no. It's not Texas A&M. Oh, no, it's an entirely different animal. Texas A&M is like they're like a bobcat. Texas is like a polar bear, okay? And they gobble up everything and hunt everything in sight, all right? I'm just saying. Yeah. Now you know why. So the point is, go back to the rivalry thing. In the Big 8 / Big 12, well, we hated Colorado and Colorado hated us and Kansas and Kansas State hated each other and stuff like that. When Texas joined the league, Garrett, everybody that wasn't named Texas, the folks at Texas A&M said, hey, you guys up there, yeah, Nebraska, Iowa State, Kansas, you guys, you do know you're going to end up, Missouri, you're going to hate Texas. We're like, why would we hate Texas? Oh, everybody hates Texas. That's,
I mean, it's,
why.
The funniest thing is I was at SEC Media Days right before they came in, and the only thing that I could all I heard from Texas people who were there, they had lots of Texas people there, even just the year before they came, and just like, oh, just wait, we're going to take over your conference. We're going to take over everything. You don't take over the SEC in the same way that you would in a lot of these conferences. I understand that you're Texas. I understand that you have a lot of pride. There's a lot of Texas pride. But Texas hasn't taken over anything. Texas hasn't done a darn thing in any sport across any level. They haven't won any titles. They haven't done anything. It's 1 year, and they'll win eventually. They'll get there. They're too good of an athletic department not to. But the thought process behind them taking over the SEC is just hysterical to me. It's hysterical. There are too many big brands, too many big things. And look, I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. And their hubris is really just the most annoying thing about them.
Well, let's start with they're going to take the SEC Media Days and they're going to take it to Dallas, which is not an SEC city, right?
Which they did last year. It was in Dallas last year for the first time.
Right. Why? Because Texas said so.
It was dumb.
Because Texas said so. Think Texas A&M? No, Texas said so. And they took it to a non-SEC city. Isn't that the interesting part? Yes, it's in an SEC state, but not in an SEC city.
Texas is not an SEC. Texas is not an SEC state.
Well, I mean, technically it is.
Yeah, technically, it's not. Like, in the same way Missouri is, it's not.
I know. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
It's like Maryland is not a Big Ten. And,
no.
You know, Cal and Stanford are not ACC. I mean, it's just a technicality.
It is.
But, I mean, at the moment, and that's just for the moment. But I'm just telling you, it'll happen. The SEC title game or the SEC basketball tournaments, slowly but surely, Texas will say, this is ours, we're taking it. And they exert what you don't see. And I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about behind the scenes. They exert so much pressure because they have so much money. They are, Texas is ungodly wealthy athletic department, okay? It dwarfs Georgia and Alabama. This is why they're going $35 or $40 million payroll for the NIL for Texas is, you want to, some dude's driving around in a Landman truck going, I spent that last week on, well, I'll be clean. It's a family show. On Sports Radio 92, I think. All right, so let's get back to this. I just had to hear this. It boggles my mind. So Georgia fans, Alabama fans, you're going to have to start uniting, Auburn fans, Tennessee fans, to defend your turf, because that team over there, behind the scenes, they're working to take over. And if you don't believe me, okay, you watch. They ran the Southwest Conference, they ran the Big 12, and they want to run the SEC. Just heads up. That's all. Braves and United. Should either or neither or both make managerial changes in season to try to save their season? Next on Sports Radio 90, Time of the Game.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
1999. About there. I'm on the radio doing morning drive in Southern California. My co-host is a wonderful man. Great player at Arkansas, great NFL player with the Chargers named Billy Ray Smith, really cool dude. Also worked with his wife, Kim, who was, I think, the world of. She was news anchor. I was sports anchor on TV. And so I'm doing the morning radio show with Billy Ray, he and I, the team. And I don't remember what we were discussing, but we were in some, not between us, we were in some heated thing. It wasn't Ryan Leaf because it was post-Ryan Leaf. But it was, we got into this heated thing where we were both on the same side of an issue and we were cursing somebody else out, probably the Raiders. I don't even remember anymore. But we got, and I threw out a curse word. That's the last, I have not cursed on the air since then. One of the reasons I try not to curse in real life is because I don't ever want to get comfortable with it because I'm afraid it would translate over to this. One of the reasons I haven't done a podcast is because, you know, when I was doing like Andy and Randy's podcast and I was like, yeah, and they're like, you can curse. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to get into that habit because I don't want it to slip. So I actually did. It was like, oh, okay. All right, let's get to your calls. DJ, if you're hanging on right there, stay right there. DJ Wayne Vincent Lee, I guarantee you'll be on the air. Just be patient with me. I get talking and yakking over here. Hey, DJ, welcome to the show. What are you bringing? Hey, DJ, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Actually, a lot transpired during that week. Do you want me to comment on the previous topic or college football?
Okay, no, whatever you want, whatever is front in mind in DJ's life, let's talk.
Right. Hey, a couple things. So I'll start with the Braves. Actually all of Atlanta sports. It seems like, you know, this, I guess to call it middle of the pack purgatory, it seems. I think a lot of it has to come down to, you know, I think it's more of the development. A lot of these younger players that we're bringing in, I don't necessarily think they're bad picks. I think we have young cores and great teams, but we're missing huge opportunities when it comes to actually training these players and getting them on the same page. I mean, you look at Snicker, for instance. I mean, I'm on the same page. I think it's time to go. Some of the choices he's been making and, you know, in terms of, you know, pitching, it's been pretty bad over the last couple of seasons. I mean, the batting, sure, it hasn't been there since 2023, but a lot of those decisions have cost us ball games, and, you know, it seems to be a pretty common thing across all these sports, and the Hawks are the same way. It always just seems to be we appear, do well, and then fall off for a while, be mediocre for a while, and then it seems like we bottom out and restart again. It's just a very vicious cycle as an Atlanta fan.
Yeah, no, it is. You're right. I mean, certainly, I think a reasonable, sound reading of the room when it comes to Atlanta sports is, okay, this is me and my reading, and I'm calling it reasonable and sound. I probably shouldn't do that, DJ. It's just my reading. I'm not trying to say that I'm reasonable and sound. I disagree with every host here on this station, every host on the other station. Everybody in town has a different opinion. This just happens to be mine. Is that Mr. Blank has done a phenomenal, I think he's a great owner, and I think he's done everything he could possibly do in terms of building world-class facilities, in terms of spending the money to build world-class teams. He's spent to the max in the NFL. He's spent to the max in Major League Soccer, and he's just gotten unlucky. He got really unlucky in one particular game, and we all know about. So got really unlucky in another game, too, which is we don't talk about, which is the NFC title game against Kaepernick, 17-0. Everybody talks about the other score, but 17-0. Or otherwise, we go to the swamp and play John Harbaugh in that Super Bowl, in the blackout Super Bowl, and might win that one. So I think he's done a lot of things right, and so it's just frustrating for me. I can't imagine how frustrating it is for Mr. Blank and for Josh and for the AMBE organization. When it comes to the Braves, certainly now what is known as Braves Holdings, Liberty Media being a minority shareholder in Braves Holdings and John Malone, there's a disassociation here. They want to build something that I think we want to see winners here. And I'm not saying that money, DJ, in and of itself is the panacea. We've seen teams like the Angels and the Padres and up until now the Mets, Red Sox spend lots and lots and lots and lots more money than the Cubs, than the Braves have, and have nothing to show for it. So it's not just automatically spending money. It's the inability to spend money at all, which is, I think, troubling.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Arthur Blank, it doesn't have, I mean, the Falcons facilities, everything is very nice. I mean, even the Hawks have done a pretty decent job of, you know, their fan experience when you're at games, but I think you're right. It just seems to be, you know, I don't know if it's the people that, you know, I know for a fact that this draft, I think, went pretty well. And I think that, you know, Fontenot knew that it was either this is the, you know, put up or shut up time this year, because we've been clamoring for defensive players for years, and it seems like we were all ignored, but this is finally, it took us to get to this point for him finally to start pushing the direction the fan base wanted.
You know, in his defense, again, they drafted quite a few defense players. You know, it just, they didn't draft him number one. I mean, last year was a defensive draft. I mean, they drafted Brook Arroyo and Brandon Dorlus and Braylon Trice. And I mean, they went heavy on defense except for the first pick. And so it's not that they don't draft defense. And there was a decision made to go young on offense, to get playmakers, young playmakers on offense, and then build through free agency on defense, which worked in a lot of ways when you were coming out of cap hell with Dean Pease and even Ryan Nielsen. I think the mistake wasn't necessarily the way they were, you know, going about it. I think the mistake was Jimmy Lake.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment on that.
I did want to shift a little bit to the Texas comment, though, about that. I was actually looking at something yesterday. I saw a lot of online forums, you know, saying the SEC run through Texas. And I said, well, I mean, it hasn't, right? And even last year it didn't. Georgia, I arguably had probably one of its more down season since Kirby's been around. And even with all the talent they did have on Texas offense, they still couldn't get it done, right? So I think it's a wild thing to say that right now, especially since Georgia still is, it has been since at least 2017, one of the two teams you're going to face in the SEC to go through it. And out of the, what, seven times they've been in that time frame, I think it's a little wild to say it now. But, yeah, I think in – future seasons, maybe they'll get there perennially, but it's a little early and premature to say they're taking over the SEC.
From a football standpoint, yes, absolutely, it's premature to say that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, not only premature, it's incorrect. It's just flat out not true.
I completely agree.
Yeah, it's just flat out not true. But so anyway, but I'm not worried about SEC so much that as the SEC just needs to stand by. Well, of course, we'll see what the future of college football looks like, DJ, and I appreciate the call. It's not that. What I'm trying to forewarn you of is what's going on behind the scenes in the Texas takeover and things that you don't see. I'm not talking about football results. I'm talking about in decision-making in regards to rules and how things are going to be run. And Texas views itself as the commissioner's office, okay? And you don't do anything without their permission. Wayne is with us. Wayne, welcome to the show. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, what's going on, John? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just want to jump into something that you said a few segments ago about the Hawks. I am so excited about the Hawks, but I'm going to tackle another subject simultaneously. I'm happy about the Hawks because finally, I think, like you said, we are on an upswing. Who knew that, you know, by the unfortunate, you know, injury forced Richesse to play, and he developed more than I thought. And every night that I watched this kid, he got better and went deeper into his bag. So I would love to see his growth from year one to two, now that the league got film on him and vice versa. So I want to see that and the continued improvement of Dyson Daniels. I mean, this doesn't normally happen to a franchise like the Hawks or something here in Atlanta, which brings me to this point.
All right, so we'll all agree on that, Wayne. I don't mm-hmm. want to interrupt you, but I'm going to be pressed for time here. We'll all agree, you at least you and I being all, that there has been, we'll include Okongwu, we'll include Trey into that. And we'll include Jalen into that, who went from G League to before the injury, year over year was getting better. So why then, what's going to happen? Why do you blow out, suddenly make this huge change in the front office, fire the general manager, anoint an interim general manager, split the duties, and are going to bring in a team president from the outside who's now going to have, you know, the director of basketball operations decisions on the team? What are they planning to do? Why, if that's the case, then why would you, are they about to blow this all up again?
Because we, in both franchises, the Falcons in the past and the Hawks right now, is we can't get out of our own way. Look at the
That's fine. I understand that. But, Wayne, help me out. Okay, I want to go directly. Forget about the Falcons. Don't muddle the issue. What are the Hawks planning? Okay. Why do you think they changed this?
And that's the reason it's hard to be a sports fan, and the national media, when they come to town, they see empty seats. Because diehards like you and I, we see this. I can't answer that, John. I wish I knew, but then I'm happy one moment, and then you snatch the rug.
So I'm asking you to guess here. Do you think, let me ask you a direct question. Do you think hiring a team, let me ask you the question, Wayne. Do you think that hiring a new team president, director of basketball operations, is the foreshadowing of a massive trade that the Gertz wrestler organization said, enough, we have to win now, we have Trey, and we are going to make a run at a Zion, at a Giannis, and we're about to make a massive trade?
I agree 100%. The guy I want is the walking bucket, Kevin Durant. The problems with the Hawks in the fourth quarter, when everybody focuses on Trey, you need that consistent knockdown. Every other superstar athlete on that level has a Batman or a Robin or two Batmen. You look at Joker, and then look at Westbrook, a highly regarded player, a highly skilled player. You know, you gotta have something to relieve that pressure. And once that happens, man, Trey will slice and dice them up. He likes to pass the ball, but he gotta have the. I say go get Durant. You know, you
all
got.
Right, well, we'll see how they do. I'm right up against the clock. Sorry, Wayne.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks much. Garrett Chapman, and by the way, if you're hanging on, if you're Vincent Lee Jeff, stay right there. The break is short. We'll get to you in a moment here. As soon as the break gets back, I promise you'll get on the air. I got 15 seconds here, Garrett. Do you think the hiring of a new team president, director of basketball operations, is a foreshadowing of a major move in this offseason by the Hawks?
No.
Then why do it?
I think the major move from the outside, an outside piece coming in, I don't think that's happening. I do think the major move for the Atlanta Hawks this offseason is extending Trae Young or trading him. It's one or the other.
Well, that's the major move. You trade Trae Young, that's a pretty major move.
But I don't think it happens. That's what I'm saying.
Then why make the move?
I don't know.
That's what I can't figure out.
The move doesn't make any sense to me.
Unless you're going to make a major move. It's a foreshadowing of something big is about to happen. All right, quick break. Top of the hour. Jeff, David, Robert, Vincent Lee, you're all standing on board, and you're all going to make it on the air. Just be patient. I promise I'll get to you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.